All Eyes on Fishing with Josh Sheldon, Brad Qualley, and Mitch Peterson, leading you to the next level.
Hey, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Today we're going to be talking about jigging, vertical jigging, pitching jigs, dragging jigs, kind of everything jigging.
We're going to be talking about it. I think we're going to focus mostly on just from a boat. We'll talk about boat jigging at least at first because that's kind of what we do. So I think things that we're going to cover in this is jig selection, how to tie them up, and what we actually do once we're actually in the water fishing them.
I mean, a lot of this stuff's interchangeable, so feel free if you think it'll work from shore and that's your thing, then feel free to try it out. The hard part is, you know, when we talk about dragging jigs, you try that from shore, it works, but, you know, you're going to get hung up quite a bit, so just keep that in mind. But, you know, jigging is it's the most versatile, stable, best way to catch fish for most people.
It's pretty inexpensive.
And it can be pretty inexpensive. You know, I think we've kind of touched on lately, especially in the last couple articles, keeping it simple. We did Bottom Bouncers 101 at alleyesonfishing.com, and you know, the simple approach, the simple way of doing things. And then we did a follow-up article of Keep It Simple Stupid, and that was centered more on just you know, three or four real basic simple presentations, and we're going to kind of follow up on that in this podcast. And you know, we're going to keep it real simple, and simple most often catches fish. And so don't get nuts, don't get crazy when you're going through your big Plano tackle box, or if you're like us and you've got it all broke down into separate boxes in your boat. And you know, a lot of times start simple and you'll stay simple because that's what'll catch the fish.
So really we use two kinds of jigs. Now there's all me and Mitch use a ball jig, and it's just that's the reason why they call it a ball jig, is because it's a ball that has a hook on it, you know, and it's just an eyelet that you tie up. And then we also use a jig that we like to use, is a jig that looks like almost like a sled. It's really flat on the bottom, and we use that more for dragging. But the ball jig is probably something that we use the most of. Now there's all kinds of different jigs out there, different companies that make them, anywhere from 16th ounce to whatever. Typically we use 1/8 ounce, 1/4, and 3/8 ounces. Probably pretty much what we use most of the time.
Yeah, we'll do, you know, when we do slip bobbers and stuff, we'll use those, the really small ones. I can't remember what that one
is. Like the 16th or
32nd. And actually the 16th, and now we really are going to say pitching. If you're pitching up shallow, you know, with, let's say, a leech, we'll use a 16th ounce and let that bad boy just kind of settle in there. And if they're in a couple feet of water with that light jig head, maybe early spring, early
that
summer,
that leech can pull it around.
Man, that leech will move it around, and they'll just inhale it. So there's, you know, you got to have your sizes. But as far as like colors and stuff go, keep that simple too. I don't know about you guys, but we use, one of my favorites, and my favorites ever since I was a little kid, just because I grew up poor, was plain jig heads. You know,
just
I could
lead
go,
head.
Yeah, just the lead head, just the lead. No paint, nothing. And gosh, man, that in a half a night crawler, which is something we should discuss too, but a half a night crawler, I can't even tell you how many walleye, wiper, smallmouth I've caught just doing that simple presentation.
So starting off with your jig, I think your typical one, kind of your all-purpose jig, I mean, is probably a 1/4 ounce. That's pretty much what
quarter to eighth.
Yeah, I think it's pretty much what most people use, whether you're going to cast them or vertical jig.
Right.
And generally, you want to fish with the lightest jig head possible.
Yes.
Yep. For the depth or the conditions. So if it's windy, you may have to go with a bigger, heavier jig head. But if it's calm, you can drop that lighter one down. But try to fish with the lightest jig head possible. Usually, it will increase your success with them.
That's right. So, let's talk a little bit. Starting off, you got your jig selection. Let's say we're using 1/8 to 1/4 ounce, and you're going to be just vertical jigging over some structure from your boat. How do you guys tie it on? What do you guys use? What do you think is the correct kind of line to use, kind of pull for your jigs? What's going to be the best?
You know, the keep it simple is the key. And nowadays, you know, when you're sitting in the aisle at whatever sporting goods store you choose, you know, you can Google whatever rod is sitting there, and it'll tell you what it's used for. It'll tell you what its design is for. Most of them say right on there, jigging, you know, so keep it simple. I you know, I'm a big fan of St. Croix. Their tournament series rods are amazing, and they're fairly, you know, they can get expensive, but they have some that are less expensive, and I, you know, that goes for Fluger and Abu and Shimano. Those are all great rods. I mean, the Shimano rods, but those are all great reels to pair with them. And go small. I can't tell you how many times I've seen these guys out there with these gigantic reels on these small rods. 1500 series reel is all you need, you know, and it'll say up to 6 pound test. Yeah, that's fine, but remember, your super lines, you know, 6 pound test is still 12 pound super line. So don't, you know, keep it small, keep it light, because if you're fishing all day, you'll get tired.
Well, and really, if we're going to talk rod selection, I think that my most important thing is I like a 7'6" or a 7 foot rod, but I like having the medium action and a fast tip.
That's what I was getting at.
You know, because it all comes down to being able to feel the bite. Because and again, one of the reasons jig fishing is so fun is because it's you against the fish. You know, you're gonna feel those bites, and the whole game is being able to set the hook while that fish has the bait in its mouth
before they can spit it out.
Right.
And a lot of times that bite you feel isn't them picking it up; it's them spitting it out.
A lot of times it is. Well, and that's where the, you know, the super lines do come in. You know, just much
super
more
super lines. Let's talk what that is, though. People might not know. Like a fire line.
Yeah.
Right. A braid or you know, something that's not mono or a copolymer type line.
Yeah. There's no stretch, so you're gonna feel everything. And again, with that fast tip and the medium action rod, when you can feel that bite, that's gonna help your success with that too. So medium action, boom, you've got the backbone for when you go to set the hook.
Yeah, and it's important to, you know, I mean, the rod selection, all that stuff. I know you guys like medium. I like medium light. I like that fast tip and that stout backbone, and I like a smaller diameter rod. And
I don't like the medium light because it takes too long to load up. That's like an extra little bit to load up. I mean, I would have to disagree with you.
Well, spend some money on your rod, and it won't take that long.
No, it still takes half the rod to load up. It's not. I mean, medium light's fun if you're pan fishing, right?
I use it for, I used them up casting, I even used it casting the tops of brush.
Let's vote on that. Who likes medium or medium light?
I like medium.
Okay, yeah. So Josh, you're out. You're stupid, no medium light.
Medium.
Medium's
good if, you know, medium
high. You just said it.
Medium hides poor fishing ability. So let's go on to the next level.
You just said medium. said medium's good, so we're going to move on from there.
Yeah. My goal is to try to break their neck, and I'm going to do that with a medium action.
Yeah. Well, if you got a strong backbone on a medium light, you know.
No, you don't.
Well, you do. Like I said, you know, if you quit buying those, you know.
Whatever. So okay, let's go with a medium action fast tip rod is definitely what you want to use.
If you're not very good. Anyways, but the jigging, I mean, you just jig your and jigging is a, I think people think you have to give it a bunch of action and move it up and down and all that. Sure, sometimes, but a lot of times, just casting it out parallel to the shore. You don't always have to cast up to shore. Parallel to the shore, if that's where you're marking fish. You know, a lot of times, walleyes are as aggressive as smallmouths, and they'll hit it the second the bait gets to the bottom.
Well, it's dropping even.
Yeah, I mean, I've had them just about tear the rod out of your hand. They hit it so hard.
Well, it's funny, so that's cast up to shore. When I watch guys vertical jigging, just dropping it straight down on your boat, you're working some structure, right?
Right.
And you got
a
fish,
hump or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is. And, boy, for the most part, we'll sit there. This happens to us out of Cherry Creek quite a bit when we're jig fishing, because there's these shelves out there. They're like sandy shelves with oxygenators out there, right? And it really brings the fish in. So you of course are sitting on those break where those fish are, and Mitch and I will park on them just like 10 other boats are parked on that same shelf, because it's just loaded with fish, and we're catching fish one after another, and other guys are just sitting there going, what in the hell?
Yeah.
And it's usually because they really get too crazy on their jigging. They're like snap jigging it like it's a, when snap jigging works at times too, but they're going crazy like they're fishing a blade bait
right,
or something.
Right, yeah, like they're snapping a jigging wrap.
I'm telling you, And what works so good is the subtle approach. You drop it down, it hits bottom. You see how you can see that is you see your line stop dropping, but it also gets limp. So you just crank or pick it up, and all of a sudden it's tight again. So you know you're just off bottom. Give it a half a crank, so you're working that bottom 6-8 inches, and work it up and down a couple inches. Let it sit. Let it jig it a couple inches, not 2-3 feet. I mean, some guys are really good, and sometimes that works good, especially in the fall. But I'm talking about just easy jigging and letting it sit. And that brings me to dead stick.
Hey, Mitch, do you want to explain dead stick? He's hogging the deal here.
Well, it's because you don't know. one of those guys that doesn't catch them.
I want to get some info from the other side of the boat, because I see Mitch sit in front, and the guy in front catches more fish, so I know why he's up front.
So here's the deal with the dead stick. So years ago, here in Colorado, we can fish with two rods. So if it's a jig bite and we're on the fish, we have four rods out. Well, it's a lot of times we will fish with, you know, a rod in each hand. You know, just kind of depending on the situation. But, you know, if it's windy, if it's tough to put a lot of effort into even boat control and stuff, you know, years ago, we put one of those rods in a rod holder, and, you know, that's the dead stick. We're not even touching it. We drop it down, let it hit bottom, crank it up like once, you know, so it's maybe six inches off the bottom or bouncing right on the bottom. And I'll tell you what, old Daddy has caught more walleyes than you can shake a dead stick at. You gotta have a dead stick out. Yeah. There's times where we may be fishing with four rods and, you know, one in each hand, and we'll purposely put one in the dead stick. For whatever reason, I think it goes to Brad's point of being subtle with it and not over jigging and getting crazy. We're just basically letting that thing sit there and drag.
Well,
and
let the boat. I mean, well, you know, you get the waves of the boat or the wind.
If you got any kind of wind, you know, your boat is going to be moving up and down to it. So it's just subtly moving up and down. So that's the perfect point. And I am going to hog this a little bit.
All right, here it goes.
It's because when you have a dead stick, sometimes it outfishes you. So what's the guy with the rod in his hand doing? We're jigging too aggressively.
Right.
Take note of that dead stick, because it's just gradually moving up and down.
Yep.
So what do you think I should be doing with the rod in my hand?
I really don't want to answer that question.
Yeah,
because,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So you fish it like the dead stick. Then
what you always do with the rod.
Then, shut up. So then what you do?
Which isn't much.
You just fish it subtle like you do your dead stick. The benefit is that your dead stick, you're playing the odds that you're going to actually see the bite and get there quick enough, that not because you're going to miss some fish on dead stick.
Right.
But it's a clue. It's what keys you in on how you should be aggressively fishing those fish or not aggressively fishing.
And guys, we're not strictly talking walleyes here. I mean, we're talking all species of fish. I've caught a ton of big smallmouth doing the dead stick. I've caught a ton catfish and wiper and white bass doing the dead stick, perch. I mean, so don't, you know, I mean, even the trout come up and hit it. It just, you know, it's not strictly walleyes. And, you know, I know that the dead stick can work really well, but there are those times. And, you know, like I said, I'm going to direct this to the front of the boat, because the back of the boat doesn't catch as many fish sometimes. The front of the boat, what do you think, Mitch, about, you know, those days when you got to give it a little more to catch those fish?
Well, and it's the truth. You know, sometimes they do want it a little more aggressive. But that's where every time you go out, don't just get stuck in a rut. You've got to play around a little bit. And really, how long does it take to change up your jigging cadence? You know, sometimes you might want to, you know, just sit there and bang it on the bottom, bap, 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 and kind of kicks up a little sand, you know, a little commotion.
Or bangs on the dirt, I mean, the rock or the, you know, No, you're right.
You know, other times maybe they do want it 18 inches off the bottom or a little higher than you'd normally go. But
right.
I think the key with it is just keep playing around with it until you start getting bit.
Yeah.
Then try to replicate it, and if it works, you know, you're kind of onto something.
Right. Yeah. And you know, guys, and you got to remember, you know, what you're not really matching, you know, you've all heard it, match the hatch. You know, we're not really matching the hatch when we're doing that. The closest thing you've got to something like that is crayfish. You know, the fish are down there, they're along the bottom. They're picking off things as they come up off the bottom, like crayfish or bugs. Remember, a lot of these game fish eat bugs, lots of bugs. And so, you know, they're looking for something like that. So let's talk tip and jigs, okay? Three big things I can think of to tip jigs. Well, okay, three. And I think there's three categories. There's plastics, Mr. Twisters, right? Are a very, you know, or some sort of paddle tail jig. I think gulp falls into a different category. So you got Mr. Twisters, you know, really not scented, just some sort of action, right? Then you got live bait. And I can tell you guys, out here in Colorado with all this zebra mussel garbage and everybody being paranoid, we don't use a lot of minnows. Just for the fact they won't let us take them on the lake unless you have got, you know, your first child, your death certificate, your birth certificate, and a piece of your grandmother's hair. That's the only way you can get it on the lake. So we use a lot of crawlers and leeches because, you know, that's not as big an issue. So,
and I would say probably to that point that we use crawlers predominantly.
They're
inexpensive and they work.
They work. Almost every one of our reservoirs crawlers are probably the go-to. But I know in the Midwest, back east, stuff like that, I know you guys use a lot of minnows, a lot of different stuff. And so, you know, these work for all of them. Just don't let them put you into the category that's all we use. And then your last category is the category of your scented, you know, your gulps, your power bait type jigs that are scented and are you know, if you leave them out, they get dry, they break down in the water, all that kind of stuff. I think those are your next category, and those are the three things. And you can fish every one of those presentations slowly dragging across the bottom or even dead stick it.
Mm-hmm. You can. Now, the last little thing that I'd like to touch on is, because I know a lot of people struggle with this, and when people are on the boat with me, they're okay, how are we going to fish this? And that's trees or brush that you're jigging. I mean, when you're fishing rock structure or you're fishing just humps out in the lake, it's pretty easy. But when you're fishing, you know, like a brush or something that's 4 foot up off the bottom or small trees, and those fish are sitting in the tops of those trees, how do you jig those?
Well, and that's the thing, is you can swim them, reel them in real slow until you start ticking the tops, you know, or you can try to pitch at the base and take it from the base back, because the fish are scattered all throughout there, you know. But when you got the heavy brush, that's when you line up and you get some heavier line and you reel it to you. I mean, as soon as it hits the water, you start reeling nice and slow and you're ticking through the tops of the brush.
I'm talking vertical jigging.
Well, even vertical, you come up and you fish it almost like a slip bobber.
Well, yeah, you do fish it similar to a slip bobber, but some things that we've used, and I don't know if you have, Josh, but we've used our line counters on that for pulling bouncers or for jigs.
Sure.
Because once you find the tops of those trees, you can repeat it. Okay, now I got to go down 18 feet, and I'm right at the top of the trees. So when you get that bite, you know it's cut. You're sitting right above the trees, just like if you were only 6 inches from the bottom of the lake.
Right. Well, you know, Berkeley's come out with a new fire line that is like, it's color-coded like lead core, and so that would be a really great example of using that color-coded line to be able to drop your line down to the exact depth you keep fishing over and over and over to pick up those fish. Because we've all seen it. We've all seen it where the fish are in the tops of the weeds or the brush at the bottom, and, you know, kind of getting down to that brush. If you go a little bit too far, boom, you're hung up. You know, you just dropped it down, you're hung up. You get it off, but you lose your bait, whatever. You know, and especially if you're fishing minnows, man, that can get expensive fast.
You know, the one thing I'd like to throw in here before we wrap it up is, you know, Brad and I've got a saying, we've learned it over the years. And
don't touch each other in the boat. No, taking your pants off in the boat.
I think that needs to be edited out there, Junior. No, you know, sometimes when you're jig fishing, I mean, the bites can be so light, you can barely feel them. You know, having the fire line, super line, and the right rod and stuff really helps with that. Other times, those fish will just hammer it. I mean, you know, I could have the rod between my knees holding it, and I can feel the bite. But the kind of the moral of the story is, when in doubt, set the hook.
Yeah.
Yes,
yep.
It doesn't hurt anything to go to break their neck, and it was just water. Well, yeah. You're right back in it.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, there are so many times, if it doesn't feel quite right, drive her home.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of talking about jigs. Of course, there's a lot more we can talk about in the future, and we probably will, because the three of us like to talk. So, anyways, follow us and have a good rest of your week.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Join us again next time as we discuss your favorite topics. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and visit our website, alleyesonfishing.com.
helping you to fish your next level.